Audio homily for Saturday of the third week of Advent. This morning, our gospel passage offers us Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus. We are still a whole week away from Christmas Day, and yet the church connects us to Jesus' birth now. When we get to the Masses on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Luke's nativity story and the prologue of John's Gospel will have pride of place. When it comes to dramatic effect, there is no competition between the two birth narratives in the Gospels. Luke wins hands down. Let's look at how Matthew tells the story. We notice right away that assistance is offered from heaven, but it is offered to Joseph and not Mary. And it comes from an angel in a dream to a sleeping Joseph, not from an angel encountering a wide awake Mary. In Matthew's version, neither Joseph nor Mary says anything. In Luke's account, Mary has very important things to say. Matthew tells us that Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of a passage from Isaiah, but this is not really the case. The text in Isaiah in the Greek version of the Old Testament speaks about a parthenos becoming pregnant. Parthenos means virgin. The original Hebrew text says that a young maiden will become pregnant. And the original text is not a prediction about the birth of the Messiah, but rather proclaims that the pregnancy of a certain young woman in the royal household of King Ahaz in the 8th century will be the sign that his kingdom will not be attacked by his enemies. No virginal conception is involved here. But there are poignant touches in Matthew's version. Joseph, who no doubt was a young man, shows himself to be able to hold steady under enormous pressure and chooses to be concerned about Mary's welfare rather than his own suddenly precarious situation. He decides to divorce his pregnant betrothed privately and not publicly, thereby trying to save her public humiliation, or even worse, stoning. Reassured by the angel, he takes his betrothed into his family's household, thereby making Mary respectable. We are told that Mary and Joseph did not have sexual relations until she bore a son. The natural meaning of this statement in Greek is that they had relations after their son's birth, but the Greek also allows the interpretation that they did not have relations at all, which is what the church has taught since about the second century. There is no birth scene in Matthew, unlike Luke, just the simple phrase, until she bore a son. The first sentence of the next chapter tells us in a dependent clause that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. The main clause informs us about Magi arriving from the east. Matthew gives us, therefore, the impression that while there was something extraordinary about Jesus' conception, there was nothing extraordinary about his birth circumstances, that the manner was ordinary. No lack of hospitality, no stable, no manger, an ordinary, not extraordinary, deprivation marked his coming into the world. Neither nativity story is offering us an answer to the concern that consumes some 19th century German historians. Wie es eigentlich gewesen ist, how it actually happened back then. The ancient historians, unlike modern ones, were much more interested in the meaning past events had for the present of the historians and their readers. Matthew is telling us that Jesus of Nazareth is God with us, Emmanuel, born of a human mother, and having as well an utterly transcendent origin, the Holy Spirit. We learn that he belongs to the line of David by virtue of Joseph naming him. The Messiah was to come from that line, according to many Jews. And this Messiah will not become an armed revolutionary, but will liberate his people not from the oppression of the Romans, but from the captivity of sin. The Australian Jesuit New Testament scholar Brendan Byrne makes the lovely point that God did not wait until everything was shipshape to enter the world as Jesus of Nazareth, but entered into a domestic situation fraught with ambiguity and potential scandal, and into a world suffering from violence, oppression, and enormous economic disparity. Isn't that how it always is with our compassionate God? Always present, always attentive, always wanting to be at the service of our genuine flourishing, even if we are somewhat distracted and somewhat unwilling.